Good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN Friday. And it's our opportunity here to talk with the Riley County Police Department. We do this once a month, and always a pleasure to have RCPD Director Dennis Butler join us on the program. Good morning, Director Butler.
Good morning, Brandon. I'm sorry I missed you last month. It's good to be back.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We had a good time with Captain Yeager and who was the other one?
Captain Steer.
Yes, that's right. They were good. They did a good job, and we had a lot of fun talking with them. It's nice to mix it up once in a while.
Yeah, I heard good reports about how the interview went. So thanks for hosting them.
You bet. Always a pleasure. How have things been going at the police department as of late?
Overall, you know, activity's picking up because of the emergence from the COVID restrictions and routines getting back to normal. So our jail population's going up a little bit. Issues in the community are, you know, no worse, no better. I mean, it's going about the same. We're doing very well. Very, very supportive community and good employees here working at the RCPD.
All right. Well, pleased to talk to you, and always appreciate the opportunity to talk with you about a number of issues here. And I thought I'd start here today. Well, obviously, the news of the week was the verdict that happened in Minnesota with former police officer Derek Chauvin found guilty on all charges in the George Floyd murder last year. And, you know, it brought up a lot of questions about what we've learned here about policing in this past year and maybe how things may change going forward. Just first of all, though, I might just get your thoughts on that verdict and what it meant to you as a police officer yourself.
Well, I'll start out by saying that I thought the jury in this case got it right. Just like anybody else who watches television and videos on social media, I saw the same videos that average citizens saw during the trial, which I saw very little of, I have to admit. I just didn't have time to tune in. We also saw some new video that we hadn't seen before. I can tell you personally, and I think I speak for most professional, well-trained police officers, early on in that encounter, the tactics and the techniques in trying to control a suspect in a criminal case were justified. But there came a point where the force that was being used was no longer necessary and was clearly excessive. And again, I think most professional police officers would agree with that. I found it troubling to watch what happened in that case, even while Mr. Floyd was still obviously alive. It was, I just couldn't understand why the force that was being used by former Officer Chauvin was being applied. And so I trust that the jury, who heard all of the evidence, which I haven't heard from all of the experts, medical and otherwise, use of force experts, had a full grasp of the situation. And I believe their verdict was correct. And I'm relieved that they got it right. Because if they hadn't, then I think it wouldn't have helped what's going on in our country right now. I say that, and when I say that, I also want to make a comment about my opportunities to speak with members of our community. And a lot of times it's at the different governing bodies. There's six of them in Riley County that I meet with routinely at their open meetings. And I've said it before, but I said it again recently when I've had an opportunity about how thankful I am that we live in a county, a community, where people are even-tempered, rational. They don't seem to have an agenda based on incomplete information and misinformation and jump to conclusions about things we do here. We work very, very hard at maintaining the trust of the community, being legitimate in their eyes. And it's not always easy. It takes a lot of work, but it also takes a commitment to police the right way, hire the right people, and train properly. But I'm very thankful that we don't see the kind of reactions here that we see in other places. And after the, even when the verdict was coming in the other day, we contacted Teresa Parks, the local Black Lives Matter Manhattan organizer, and we've worked with her well in the past, and we said, listen, is there anything that you need from us? Is there anything we need to know about to keep our community safe? And we had a good conversation, but there wasn't anything that she needed. And as far as we knew, her organization, according to her, wasn't planning any either celebrations or protests that could happen later. But, you know, those are the kinds of things we do on a regular basis with a variety of people to try to make sure that we are on top of things and we can preserve people's First Amendment rights and have them do it safely and not let it get hijacked by people who have different motives.
Going forward, and this is illustrated kind of something here at the national level, but there's probably here, even in Manhattan and in Raleigh County, there's probably some folks in the minority community who are still afraid of police. And how do you bridge that gap here and make it so that, you know, that is not the case here in our local community?
You know, you make a good point, and that work is ongoing. And my approach and the approach our officers take is one encounter at a time. But we have to be realistic that crime occurs in our community. And often this crime is not of our choosing where it occurs or who's involved in it. But we have an obligation. We have taken an oath. We have been provided equipment and training by this community to keep it safe. And for us to turn our heads the other way when crime is occurring, or we have information that crime could occur because it's occurring in a certain part of the community or involving certain people, is irresponsible, and we won't do that. But how we deal with it, how we treat people, our efforts to de-escalate, whether someone's mentally ill or being aggressive toward us, are things that we take very seriously and we work very hard at. The one thing that is often not acknowledged when I watch news reporting, and I'm not talking about local news reporting, is so much speculation and armchair quarterbacking about facts that we don't know. Why did the officer do something or not do something? And oftentimes it's because the officer has no idea what the person they're dealing with who's being aggressive is going to do next. And they're trained to protect themselves and the lives of others around them. And it's very difficult. Things happen fast and unfold quickly. And it's a stimuli officers are trained to react to protect themselves. But when they can de-escalate or not push a situation to escalate it just because they have the authority to do it, the officers here are trained to do that, to take the time that they need, not be in a hurry, and try to prevent anyone from being hurt, injured, or killed. So it's an ongoing effort, Brandon, and I acknowledge I'm not ignorant to the fact or oblivious to the fact that some people don't trust us just because we're the police. But one point I've also made to members of the community and our own officers in training that I've personally delivered on biased policing is not everybody who lives in Manhattan has only had experiences with the Raleigh County Police Department. We have students and soldiers and people who come here for career opportunities who've been exposed to policing in other places all over the country. And I can't vouch for what they've experienced. I don't know how the policing's been carried out there. But when they come here and sometimes are suspicious of police when they come here, sometimes there's very good reason for that. And so all I emphasize and encourage is to carry out our policing according to our core values and our mission statement and do our very best and hope that it turns out well and that people believe in our approach to how we handle things here.
All right, very good. Dave says we have a caller on the line, so let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Good morning. Good Friday. Happy Friday. I want to state to the director, he used the word in the first part of his speech that training is needed. Very much so. You're correct. The second thing I have is a question. Don't mean to sharpshoot you. However, have you read the report about the incident? This I got off of the rumor mill or the grapevine, but there was a black individual in the Dillon's parking lot that was confronted with at least two policemen, maybe a third, and a dog. And he was down on the ground. The dog bit his neck, and the officers had their knee in his back, and apparently they were able to subdue him with two officers and a dog, possibly three officers. If you've read that report,
I'm not familiar with that situation.
Excuse me?
I'm not familiar with what you're describing, no.
You are not familiar?
Based on what you just said, no, I'm not familiar with that incident.
Okay. You might want to read that report. There's going to be some offspring from that that I understand by the grapevine and the rumor mill. In other words, all I have to say is you're doing a great job. You have a great department, and I know you're very proud of them, and so is the community. Thank you very kindly for what you do for the community.
Thank you, sir.
All right. With that, why don't we take a quick break? Dave's answering another call here, but we'll take a break and come back more in focus after this on News Radio KMAN.